Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good to see all of you here this day to receive God's gift of forgiveness and word and sacrament. For our time of catechesis this morning, we are on page 330 at the very end of the Christian questions with their answers, starting at question number 18. We talked a little bit about the sacrament and some of the preceding questions. Question 18 then. Finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sin, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor.
Number 19, what should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?
First, both the command and the promises of Christ the Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which the command, encouragement, and promise are given.
Well, what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the scriptures say in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15:16 and in 1 John 2:5. Third, he will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the scriptures picture him in John 8:16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, and 2 Timothy 2.
All right, some pretty strong words there from Luther or whoever wrote these questions and answers. About the frequent reception of the Lord's Supper. The command and the promise ought to be enough on their own, but they clearly relate to our own pressing need, because of which, as he says, the command and promise are given. So it's our need, first and foremost, that leads to the Lord commanding our frequent reception and then promising that our frequent reception will be a blessing to us, that we will be strengthened and nourished and so forth in body and soul. And if you don't feel that, then you really do need to do what question 20 lays out there. Touch your body and see if you're still in it, and believe what Scripture says about your body. Look around you and see if you're in the world, and remember that the devil is going to be pursuing you and not letting you have any peace within or without. That peace within and without comes from our Lord in the forgiveness of sins that he gives us freely for Christ's sake. And there is the peace that you want to have in the world. Other questions or comments about questions 18, 19, 20?
In reading 20, there's a lot of churches and Lutheran that I know of who say, oh, well, we can't have communion too often because then it won't be special.
Yes, that is a frequent comment.
Yes.
And those who are married could ask themselves, you know, is it too special when my spouse kisses me? You know, do I want my spouse to kiss me less because if he kisses me too often, it won't be as special, right? One of my friends, the pastor we saw up in Warrensburg, Missouri, he's been there, it's longer than I've been here, I think he said. It'll be 14 years in November. I think maybe he was there 60 years. And they still don't have every Sunday communion. And I said, what are you waiting for? You know, you've been here 16 years. And it's all excuses because we ought to have it more regularly. And certainly, even though the Missouri Synod went through a period of influence from Pietism where it had it less regularly, my parents and mother, who joined us for dinner that night, also remembered when it was once every 4 months, once a quarter. Once every 3 months, once a quarter. The Lutheran confessions envision it every Sunday and feast day. Not that everyone has to receive it every Sunday and feast day, but that it's offered to those who wish to receive it, those who hunger and thirst for it, as described here. So no, it can't be so special that we can't receive it every week, or we shouldn't regard it as any less special because we receive it more frequently. Others, note the note there. These questions and answers are no child's play, but are drawn up with great earnestness of purpose by the venerable and devout Dr. Luther, for both young and old. Let each one pay attention and consider it a serious matter. For St. Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 6, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. So he knows what's in our hearts and minds as we deal with these matters. All right, well, with that, we have finished another, takes us about a year or so to go through the small catechism, and so next week we'll begin again with the beginning and the first commandment, and so you'll be ready for that, I'm sure. The preparation for setting forward begins is found on page 203. I invite you to turn there and please stand if you're in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of his altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let your steadfast love comfort me.
According to your promise to your servants,
your hands have made and fashioned me.
Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments.
Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice.
Because I have obtained your word.
I know, O Lord, that your just decrees are righteous.
And that in faithfulness you have afflicted me.
Let your mercy come to me that I may live.
For your law is my delight.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
desire mercy and not sacrifice.
For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.
Strength of all who trust in you, and without your aid we can do no good thing. Grant us the help of your grace, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. The appointed Old Testament reading is from the book of Amos, the 6th chapter. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Calneh and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? Or you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence? Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
The epistle reading is from 1 Timothy, the third chapter. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abram's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham,
but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Remain standing, if you're able, for the singing of the hymn of the day, 708.
Forsake me. join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
A great chasm. As you might expect, a Google search for a great chasm produces a wide range of results, from literal openings in the ground to figurative divisions in any number of things. For example, we might think of a great chasm between and within political movements, religious denominations, sexes, and families. Google's artificial intelligence overview even refers to today's gospel reading as the origin of the term a great chasm in the Bible. In fact, today's gospel reading is the New Testament's only use of the Greek word chasma, which gives us our English word chasm. Though the idea of a chasm that separates the souls of the departed righteous people from the departed souls of the unrighteous goes back at least to an apocryphal writing between the Old and New Testaments, some 300 years before the time of Christ. We may see ever widening, lengthening, and deepening chasms in this life. Even as Jesus in today's gospel reading also describes essentially a chasm that separated the rich man and Lazarus before their deaths, too. For example, the rich man had fine clothing and sumptuous food, but Lazarus's clothing did not keep the dogs from licking his sores, and he apparently was not filled with food that fell from the rich man's table. Yet the rich man and Lazarus's being on opposite sides of the wealth divide in this life was not what caused their souls to be on opposite sides of the great chasm in the intermediate state, waiting for the resurrection of their bodies on the last day, and so waiting for their full experience of respectively either the torment of hell or the comfort of heaven. Riches in this life do not alone cause one to be tormented eternally, for Abraham also was rich. Nor does poverty in this life alone cause one to be comforted eternally. The key difference, as God warns his people through Amos in today's Old Testament reading, and as Jesus describes the rich man's realizing too late, and so trying to have Lazarus warn his brothers, is whether or not one repents. Someone laid Lazarus at the rich man's gate, apparently hoping that the rich man or his family and friends would help Lazarus. In the gospel reading, Jesus does not say that anyone did evil to Lazarus, but Jesus certainly seems to suggest that they failed to do good to Lazarus. In short, they failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so they failed also to love their neighbor as themselves. They were deaf to God's word through Moses and the prophets. And so they were blind to Lazarus's needs that they, out of their abundance, could supply. Already too late, the rich man later wrongly appealed to his status as a physical descendant of Abraham. and the rich man seemed to insinuate that God's word alone both had not been enough to save him and would not be enough to convince his brothers. What about you and me? Do we fear, love, and trust in God above all things? And so do we also love our neighbors as ourselves? Do we heed God's law when it tells us how we should love our neighbors, especially those in need of clothing or food? Or does the way that we treat our neighbors suggest that we are unrepentant unbelievers? For what other sins do we deserve to be in anguish in the flames that are never extinguished? Will we also be those weeping and gnashing our teeth when we see Abraham and others feasting in the kingdom of God, but ourselves cast out? Or do we heed God's gospel when it calls and so enables us to repent of our sinful nature and of all of our sin? When we repent, then God forgives us. God forgives us for Jesus' sake. Such repentance is both our sorrow over our sin and our trust that God, out of his great love and mercy, graciously forgives us because Jesus died on the cross for us in our place. Such repentance makes us spiritual descendants of Abraham. In today's gospel reading, Abraham describes the great chasm as keeping people from crossing between heaven and hell. But Abraham may not have been referring to Jesus, who after his death on the cross for us, arguably while also being present both in this life and in heaven, descended into hell in order to proclaim his victory over sin, death, and the devil for us. And then Jesus rose from the dead. We are not stretching our imagination to think of Lazarus, in the words of today's introit, praying that God's mercy come to him so that he might live. We similarly pray that God's mercy comes to us, and God's mercy does come to us. His mercy comes to us in his word and sacraments, by which he forgives our sinful nature and all our actual sin. The rich man's five brothers would have heard Moses and the prophets, all of the Old Testament, read in the synagogue. As in the divine service, we also hear all of the New Testament, Jesus in the gospel accounts, and his apostles in their letters and other writings. Overseers or bishops or pastors, as described in today's epistle reading, are not lovers of money, but as commanded elsewhere in 1 Timothy, they devote themselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. They also apply the gospel individually with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, and with the bread and wine of the Holy Supper that are the body of Christ given for us and the blood of Christ shed for us, and so give us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Today's gospel readings mentioning the poor man's being named Lazarus and his dipping the end of his finger in water may make us think of holy baptism. But more in view in today's gospel reading is the Holy Supper, at the institution of which supper, notably the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side or bosom, as the rich man in today's gospel reading saw Lazarus at Abraham's side or bosom. God's word and sacraments are reliable signs of God's eternal favor. Earthly blessings are not. Going from this life through death to the intermediate state, there notably is no purgatory there. Going from this life through death to the intermediate state turned the tables, as it were, for the two men. The rich man had feasted sumptuously and received other good things. And Lazarus had maybe gotten crumbs and other bad things. But then Lazarus was feasting with Abraham and comforted, and the rich man seemingly was alone and in anguish. Here and now, we also receive gifts from God, but we use their abundance to love our neighbors in need. When we fail in that or in any other regard, as we will fail, with daily repentance, we live in the forgiveness of sins. Not all so repent, as Abraham prophesied in today's gospel reading, even though Jesus both raised others from the dead and himself rose from the dead. Today's gospel reading does give a stern warning to those who do not repent. But today's gospel reading also gives great comfort to those who do repent. To paraphrase today's intro, we who hope in God's word may be afflicted in faithfulness, but his steadfast love, his mercy, comforts us. Our afflictions will come to an end, and the last day will bring the resurrection and glorification of the body for eternal life in God's nearer presence with all those who have gone before us and who will come after us in the faith, and so also in the forgiveness of sins. Whatever other literal or figurative great chasms there may or may not be, there is a great chasm that separates the righteous from the unrighteous. But we have no reason to fear it or anything else. For we know that we who repent will be on the side with the righteous by God's grace. As in today's gradual, we rejoice that God commands his angels concerning us. And as in the final stanza of the hymn of the day, we pray that the Lord would let at last his angels come and to Abram's bosom bear us home. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we thank and praise you for your Son sacrificing himself for our sins and for your Holy Spirit leading us to repent and so be forgiven. Ever help us faithfully to receive your forgiveness through your word and sacraments and to do the good works of your commandments in keeping with our callings in life, till we die and your angels carry us to Abram's bosom. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you make fit and call servants for the benefit of your church. Unite in right teaching and practice the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, pastors and people together. Call pastoral candidates and fill pastoral vacancies. Bless the work of issues, etc. And for this congregation, return absent members, prosper our Sunday school,
make our offerings more than sufficient for your work in this place, and guide the budget meeting this day. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you provide us with daily bread in abundance. Help us to use what we receive, that we may be received into your eternal dwelling. Guard us and all the baptized from all temptation, especially temptations to sexual sin and to destruction. And when we succumb to any temptation, lead us to repent and forgive us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you place in our lives those who have strayed from the faith and those who have never believed. Use us to invite them here, where they can hear Moses and the prophets and Jesus and his apostles, and thereby be convinced to repent and so be saved. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your hands have made and fashioned us and all creation. As we enjoy more seasonable weather, we pray that you would rescue, relieve, and restore to those affected by drought, wildfires and their smoke, flooding, hurricanes, earthquakes, and volcanoes. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we are grieved at the seeming ruin of our country and world. According to your will, grant peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country. Bridge the ideological chasms that divide us. Strengthen those persecuted for their faith, and protect non-combatants in war zones, especially innocent women and children. Bless all those who make, judge, and administer our laws on every level of government. Make all people good citizens, and safeguard, uphold, and grant discernment to all those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you commanded your people through Amos to travel to other nations. Grant safe travel to Brady, Remo and Kathy, David, Brady, and all who travel in our time, whether wherever they go, whether for work or pleasure, by land, sea, or air. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, in faithfulness, you afflict us. Comfort those who mourn. Help victims of violent crime feel safe again. Grant hope and patience to those imprisoned and their families. By your word and sacraments, be present with those who are shut in and otherwise homebound where they are. In your time and way, deliver from their afflictions David, Tracy, Teresa, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Gwen, Bob, Jim, BJ, John, Anne, David, and all those in need of healing. And to that end, grant all necessary wisdom and skill to those who serve in medical professions. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you set the solitary in families. Meet the spiritual and material needs of all families. Bring expectant mothers and their children safely to delivery. Make all your people, especially those without spouses or children, content in their circumstances. Help us better defend your gift of human life. And bless all schooling, those who teach, those who learn, and those who support them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we thank and praise you for your gifts of physical and spiritual life to Melody. Continue to grant her physical life according to your will. Help her to remember and use her baptism, and preserve her in her baptismal grace all the days of her life. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow onto us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven and earth, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name, sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord, truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us,
our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray.
is the body of Christ given for you. Amen. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ.
Take a drink.
the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Sign, but okay.
Thank you. Okay, no, that's all right. But Gail's added, there are peppers in the artichokes. And these are the
sweet Italian roasting peppers.
Okay, they're not spicy.
No.
Okay. In addition to that announcement, just a couple things to highlight. Carlton pulled the large white box out because it is loose change Sunday. Please feel free to make use of that. Stay for the budget meeting if you would like to today. There is a little bit of food for a light lunch so that people don't get angry while we're talking about the budget. This Wednesday, our weekly Bible study continues. We are moving on to Joel chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. Sort of the bright spot in Joel after some pretty dark stuff. A reminder that council reports are due to Joy by next Sunday. If you can get them to her by then, we'd like to get the packet out for that end of October council meeting. Any other announcements? No? Okay, I look forward to greeting you all.